Blog Talk Radio.
Enlightening the world, one radio show at a time. You're listening to the Angel Radio Network. And now, here's your host.
And hello, everyone. I'm April Reynolds. Thanks so much for listening tonight to the Illuminating Love Radio Show here on the Angel Radio Network, where we hope that we're changing the world by enlightening the world one radio show at a time. And thanks so much for listening. If you're listening live, I so appreciate you taking the time to do that. If this is in the future, thanks so much for downloading this and listening. It's just great to have you listening in and really respect your time here. And I've got a great guest for you tonight. You're just going to love her just as much as I do. This is a new friend of mine, and I am just so blessed. This area that I moved to very recently in the Myrtle Beach area of South Carolina is just so chock full of wonderful people, and I keep meeting people that feel like I've known them forever, and the karmic connections are so obvious that it's, at this point, I'm 6 months into this, and at this point, I just smile. It's just hilarious sometimes. Just cut right to the chase and go right into friendship and connecting and doing things together. It's just been wonderful. And as many of you know, that I wrote my fifth book, Manifesting Princess, Illuminating Love, Enlightening Your Path to Self-Love, because loving yourself is an inside job. And that's a really long title, so just remember Illuminating Love. But it is the third book in the Manifesting Princess series of books that I've written. The Manifesting Princess is a title that I was given back in 2009, 2010, don't really remember. A lot of things were manifesting in my life, and I became a master in the law of attraction, you know, quote unquote, a master, not a work in progress with the law of attraction. And so that handle just sort of stuck, and I, of course, embraced it fully. And I wrote my first book in 2011, and then the second of the Manifesting Princess series in 2012. And now the third one in the series is out on November 12th, 2013. That's 11-12-13. And I did that on purpose because I love numbers. And now I know I love numbers more than I thought I did. And we are giggling already. Okay, I knew this was going to be a great show. Okay, so I really do love numbers. My friend Stephanie Campione, Stephanina, is the greatest numerologist on the planet. Coachingbythenumbers.com, Facebook.com/coachingbythenumbers. My friend Stephanina, I love her. She's the reason that I moved to this area. God bless her for that. And all roads seem to lead back to Stephanie, so I have to give it up to her. And just had a lot of fun moving here so far. And so with Illuminating Love, the focus of this book about the tragedies in my life, the deaths of my family members, including my son, it's been gut-wrenching for me to talk about this, and it's been life-changing as well. So my book also talks about divorce, but the real focus is on self-love and how I am in this process, of course, work in progress, of learning to love myself and learning that the greatest relationship that I will ever have is with myself. And I was told that my whole life, but it really took a divorce for me to really pay attention to it. So the serendipity of things happening is just phenomenal. So my wonderful, darling little friend Lisa Starr told me about this fabulous little book called The Dear One Letters, A Path to Growing as a Human and Evolving as a Soul. And it's by Dr. Connie Numbers. And I thought, oh, what a great thing. So I downloaded it to Kindle right away and looked it over. And it's a great book. And then wouldn't you know, somehow, some way, I bumped into Dr. Connie Numbers, the author of this book, and it was just love at first sight, self-love at first sight, and we just were off to the races. So she's our guest tonight, and I want to introduce her before it goes too much longer here, and we're just laughing so much before we went live on the air. So I want to do the official introduction because she's got quite the bio here. Dr. Connie Numbers is an author, spiritual teacher, and psychotherapist in the Sunset Beach, Calabash area of North Carolina. She gives psychological and spiritual retreats and workshops as a way of helping people to not only know themselves on a deeper level, but to also be able to remember themselves as a soul. She's the author of The Dear One Letters, A Path to Growing as a Human and Evolving as a Soul. And I also want to read, before I bring her on the air, that on the back of her book, it says that Dr. Connie Numbers has made a lifelong commitment to knowing herself deeply on both a psychological and spiritual level. Her book is a culmination of more than 30 years of analysis and spiritual mentorship. Dr. Numbers has a master's degree in social work and a doctoral degree in psychology. She has a private practice as a psychotherapist in Ocean Isle, North Carolina, and is also a spiritual teacher. She currently resides in Calabash, North Carolina, with her husband, Jeff, her parrot Lily, who we'll ask about later, and her adorable dogs Murphy and Pip. So, Connie, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you very much. I appreciate that introduction. I got a giggle out of your feeling connected to numbers, not only with your friend Stephania, but that you happen to meet someone whose last name is Numbers. So,
right.
So how cool is that?
Oh, the universe is just hilarious, isn't it? It just cracked me up. I'm like, I always love numbers, and now I love them more than I thought I did.
That's cute.
And you're so cute. So if everyone goes over to ConnieNumbers.com, you've got that cute little video talking about your delightful book. So tell us about the book. How did this happen? How did this come to be?
Well, the video actually is quite a few years old because I had entered this Next Top Self-Help Author contest, and we had to do a video, and at that time my book had a different title, but it still talks about what the book is about. I've known ever since I was in my late 20s that I was going to write a book. I just didn't know what kind of a book. And I was a professional musician for many years, and I traveled around the United States in a band called Daybreak with my husband, Jeffrey. And so I knew that the book was always on the back burner. It was in me. I didn't know if it was going to be about dreams. I didn't know if it was going to be about therapy. I didn't know if it was going to be about loving the self. I wasn't quite sure what it was going to be, but it kept evolving throughout the years, and I would travel down a path and say, oh, this is it. This is the way the book is going to be. And then I got a feeling. It was just like I just had like a stop sign in front of me, and it was like, no, that's not it. That's not it. Mm-hmm. And so it felt like I retraced my steps, and then when I had more time, started down another path. So I started down quite a few paths until I actually found the right path for me, and that was actually at the beach about 15 years ago, and I was doing an awful lot of journaling, and I would even go away by myself for a week. I used to go to Block Island, which was one of my favorite places in Rhode Island, and just write and write and write and write, and I knew that something was beginning to transform in my writings. I began to feel and hear this beautiful, the most loving voice I've ever heard. And I began to just think, as I was growing as a human and worked so much on myself, that this was just my human voice finally loving me after all of these years. And then as time progressed and I began writing, especially during one week at Block Island, I began to hear this voice say, write this down, write it down, write it down. And I knew then that it was something much bigger than me, and I began to write down what I heard. And the first thing that I began to hear was, dear one, from the moment you entered this lifetime, you were born all grown up. Housed inside that little body was a magnificent soul, a piece of the Creator, the soul of you, ready to go on your journey throughout life. And that was kind of like the very first paragraph of the book. I mean, that's not exactly quoted exactly, but it's very similar to that. And basically, my soul was introducing itself to me, saying, this is not your imagination. This is who mm-hmm. you really are, and you have taken the time throughout your life to get the cobwebs out, to peel the layers of the onion off, and to finally examine that what's left when you all the stuff comes falling out of the closet, what's left is who you've always been, this tremendous light. And I just began to write what I heard. And sometimes, to be quite honest, it was hard because I have never felt so loved in my life. I did a lot of crying in writing the book. I think I cried my way through the book. You and I were talking before the show started about crying and the value of crying. But when you cry out of feeling such love, that I knew that I was feeling the love of my soul, which to me is God, the creator, the source of all that is. And that was also a big decision that I had to make in writing the book, was what name to call the creator of the universe, of who we are. And my New Age spiritual friends would say to me, you're not going to use the word God, right?
Oh.
And I would say, well, I'm not sure. Well, God is a religious connotation, right? So you don't want to turn off people who have a bad taste in their mouth about the word God. Mm-hmm. But then my religious friends would say to me, you're going to use the word God, right?
Right.
Because, look, aren't we talking about God? You can say the Almighty. You can say the source of all that is. You can use all of these other words. But aren't you really talking about God? So I had to make a real decision, because some people would be turned off. Some people would be turned on. And then I just said, it doesn't matter. I really like the word God. I grew up with the word God. And I realized that it wasn't the word God that had to change. It's our perception of God that has to change. And it's easier to kind of accept a very loving God in the world, in the universe, when you find that same peace within yourself. Then you really understand and experience just a teeny, teeny, teeny bit about our connection with the Creator, with God. So then I just said to myself, these aren't chapters. You can't write chapters from a soul. I realized that everything that I was writing was meant to be letters written to me from my soul. But I also knew that they were meant for everybody. And the greatest compliment I get from my book is, you know, when I was reading your book, I didn't even think of you. I didn't even think this book was being written for you. It felt like my soul was talking to me. And that's exactly what I wanted. Yay!
Oh, cool. Yay, you! That must make you feel so good. And I want to read...
That part makes me feel delicious.
Right. When I posted yesterday that you were going to be on the show, so many people said that they love your book. And so your book is quite popular. Wow. And so
really?
Jennifer Rivers, yes, Jennifer Rivers wrote Love, as in she loves your book. And then Catherine Woods wrote, we have this wonderful book at the Red House Specialty Shop. Come in and get a copy and start to know yourself. I don't know where that is. Do you? I don't know where
it is. It's in Shalote. It's the big red barn kind of type house right in the middle of Shalote on Main Street, and it's a wonderful shop, I must say. Lots of wonderful jewelry and
that's
gifts.
In North Carolina.
Great in Shalote, North Carolina.
We'll have to go there sometime together. And then Lisa says, Lisa Starr says, this. She's the one that got me to this book. So she said, this is more than a book. Each day I open the book intuitively and hear my soul's message. I cannot explain the divine connection. I feel like with these loving messages, and she said she can't wait for the show. So, I mean, she was raving about your book. She said she just opens it to any page, and then that's the message for the day.
Yay, Lisa!
Yeah.
No wonder your last name is Star. You're a star.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, star.
Thank you. You know, more and more people are coming to the book, and the book is going out. It's you know, not all books start out with a fast entry into life. This was a birthing of me, this book, and it took 20 years for this birth to happen, so I've been gestating a long time and finally gave birth to this, and I think that it's really starting to take off and is going to reach a lot more people in the next few years, actually. I'm excited about it.
And you know, I know that we have so much to talk about, so I want to get a plug in now. You have a workshop this Saturday. Tell us about that.
Oh, yes. I have a workshop this Saturday at the Yoga Room in Myrtle Beach. I think it's 196 Stonebridge Road, and it starts at 10 o'clock and it ends at 4. It's a six-hour workshop, but I guarantee that it will go by very quickly. Like, it'll seem like it's only 2 hours because it's fun. It's called Big You, Little You, and it's about the child within each one of us. And so many people pay lip service to the inner child. You know, they'll say, oh, I read that book by John Bradshaw, The Homecoming, and, oh, yeah, I know that. And you know, I've got one of those. But most people don't realize how that child is not just a memory or a figment of our imagination or a psychological theory or something you read in a book. The child that I'm going to be talking about this Saturday is a real consciousness, a psychic part of ourselves that has a heart that beats and lungs that breathe. And this child is alive and well, or not, in all of us. And this child doesn't grow up, and it carries the same stuff that we had from our past. And the reason it's important to go back and rescue her and get her out of the past is not because we want to go back and reminisce for reminiscence sake. We don't want to do that. That's just a waste of time. But what happens is people are not aware that if you don't know your past, Freud was wrong about a lot of things, but he was right about this. If you don't know your past, you are going to repeat it. And so all the feelings that we have today, 90% of our worries, our fears, our frustrations, our doubts, our low self-esteem, are not coming from the strong, capable adult part of ourselves. It's coming from the little girl inside or the little boy inside that has not been tended to, that has not been listened to, because we don't really believe that she or he exists. And so that part of us carries all that stuff as a burden and replays it in our present-day life. And that's the reason we have to get her own stage and get her off our adult stage of life so that she's just playing and sleeping and no longer interfering in our relationships, in our work life, in our romantic life, in our friendships, but most of all interfering with how we feel about ourselves. So it's a great workshop. It's filled with fun. It's filled with teddy bears. It's filled with crayons. It's filled with all kind. It's filled with love and education and wisdom and knowledge, and I give a lot of myself in presenting it, and I understand that you're coming, and I thank you so much, because now you'll be able to have a first-hand bird's-eye view when you talk to others about it, because I hope to give this workshop many times. It's just unfortunate that a lot of people think that it's old or that it was trendy in the 60s and 70s, but it has no relevance now, and is just so not true.
It's absolutely not true. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the things that my book talks about is that, you know, getting in touch with your inner child, that was one of the smartest things I did in the past 3 years since I've been on this journey to, you know, individuating all the way, becoming a real grown-up, I took out a picture of myself when I'm 5 years old and put it on my mirror. And I'd been instructed to do this for, I don't know, 40 years. And I just thought, oh, well, that's for people who really need that. And I never did it until, actually, once I got settled here in my new house in Myrtle Beach, I put it on my mirror. It's still there. And when I start to say, oh, look how fat you are, look how stupid you are, whatever, I stop, because there's no way that I'm going to say such hurtful, hateful things to a five-year-old. that little girl does not deserve that kind of abuse, because that's really what it is. I went through a lot in my childhood, and I did not deserve some of the things that happened to me. Those issues were repeated, the traumas were repeated, because I didn't know better. Now I know better, and I'm learning better. I am still a work in progress, but I feel like I have the tiger by the tail at this point. And one of the other things I wanted to say about your book, when I took the luxury today of spending like 2 hours just sitting there reading your book and drinking it in, and so many times I wanted to reach over and call you and go, oh my God, I can't believe you wrote this fabulous book. This book really spoke to my soul. Many people ask me what my book is about, and I tell them self-love, and I know that your book is a lot about that as well. What I often have told people about my book is I ask the big questions because I don't have the answers. But when I was reading your book, I went, oh my God, here are the answers.
Oh, I love that.
Right.
Oh, you are just so sweet. You just made my night.
No, it's the truth. I was looking, and I'm like, I've been saying this because I finished the book back in August. So there's, you know, how there's all that time before you can release the book. And now in less than 48 hours, the book is being released. And so I'm like, I just ask the questions. That's pretty much my job. I mean, I studied journalism in college. I ask questions. I don't necessarily have the answer. I have some life experience now, so I have an opinion, but I don't have the answers. But you have the answers. Your soul has the answers. You teach us how to do that. I mean, it's so. And the other thing is the love that comes from your book. Oh my gosh, it's palpable.
So glad you said that.
It just dances off the page. The love, it just like gives you a big hug the whole time you're reading it. Love it.
I know. It makes you feel like you are just the most okay, not just even the most okay person in the world, but that you're actually magnificent, which is very hard for people to tolerate. The thought that they could be a magnificent soul, that they could have divinity inside them. So many times we've been taught that our divinity, that whatever it is we believe in terms of God or Christ consciousness or whatever, is outside of us and that we're lower than. And that is just so the opposite. We were not created to be small. We were created in the likeness and image of, which means we are our own creators. We are these divine, beautiful lights that come into this life in a human body to experience with a divine mind to help us through life, to experience life, to create life, to do so many different things that we want to do as souls, and that we are eternal and we're eternal loving beings. And when you tap into that, and here's the thing, April, people think that you've got to go way deep down inside as far as you can, and that's where the soul is, and I don't have time for that because, after all, you know, it's just too far down there. I can never find it. And it's not. It's in the next breath you take. It's there when you're petting the kitten. It's there when you open the door for somebody who needs help. It's there when you start to say something like, I'm stupid or fat, and you stop yourself and you say, no, that's my human self talking. That's not who I really am. So remembering who you are as a soul is not as difficult as many people think it is, as long as you know how to separate which part of you is being human and which part of you is acting out as beautifully as a soul. It's the same thing, really, as the child and the adult. In the workshop, when you begin to understand that your adult mind has a mindset of its own, and the child has its own mindset, you then are able to discern between the two and go, oh, I'm not so overwhelmed. It's only a part of me that feels this way. Oh, I'm not so overwhelmed anymore. It's just my human self beating myself up. Oh, that's not who I am. I really am this delicious, divine, magnificent being that's loving. And anytime you love anything or anybody, you are experiencing the divine in you.
Yeah, I love how you said I love how you said in the book that you get overwhelmed with love. Like you're overwhelmed with the amount of love coming toward you. And I felt that in the book. It just literally springs off the page. And I felt so loved as I read that. And then also, I want to say, as writer to writer, you are a great writer. This is
Wow, now you've really made my week.
Well, it is so well written. This is such a superb book. It's like you're telling the story, and you're funny too. Boy, you are funny. You cracked me up several times. Like the quote about how you're in the therapist's office and you said that you don't have an angry bone in your body. About all the crap
that
happened
in
your life.
Right?
Right, yeah.
That was in the preface.
Yes, and yeah. I just love that. And then you talk about, this is the first book in the longest time. I don't remember. I think it was Simple Abundance by Sarah Bombronic that was the last, back in the 90s. It was the last time I stopped reading a book and got up and got a notebook and a pen. That today I did that. I stopped what I was doing, got out of my comfortable recliner, and went and got a paper and pen so I could come back and take notes while I'm reading your book, because it was nonstop. There were so many things that I had to write down. Like you were talking in section one, my sense of self was I think this was in your personal preface. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. My sense of self was dependent upon whoever loved me at the time. Oh my gosh, Connie.
Yeah.
I think I did write a book about that. That's in my books. That's what all my, it's been like, okay, I was like an emotional chameleon. Depending on who I was with, because I had no sense of self. Help me. You're so good, and you wrote it all down. It's in your book. And then, it's section six, it's don't let anyone treat you less than you treat yourself. And I was like,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh, we could talk forever just about section six, because that's the whole self-love part, and that's where you and I really want to get together, and we want to do some things about self-love, don't we?
Yes, we do. Yes, we want to do something about it's so important. And I love the way the book, the whole first part of the book is really about the continuum of the soul. And some people find that just absolutely fascinating because they've never thought of who we are as a soul and our progression and how we get here and the decisions we make before we come to this life. Because sometimes people have a hard time just believing in their heads. Intellectually, they might think that they're eternal, but they don't really give it much thought. It's like when I do book signings, and I say to people, how many people believe that you have a soul? And 99% of the people raise their hands. And then I say, and how many people believe that your soul can communicate with you? And about 25% raise their hands. So I say to the other 75%, well, if you have a soul and you know that it's you or that you have it inside you, what good is it? What's its purpose? What does it do? And I get the same exact answer, and that is they shake their heads and they say, I don't know because I've never really thought about it. Mm-hmm. And so the whole first section is like, guess what? You want to think about it? You can think about it, but read this first section because it's all about, I love the one that's called, the letter that's called Amnesia is Part of the Plan. Like, mm-hmm. How come we get all ready to come here and now we got to forget?
Yeah,
but
how come?
It's all in there. And the second section is all about life. And the third one is all about ridding ourselves or diminishing fear in our life, which leads us, of course, to that section on loving the self. And then, of course, into the spiritual part as well. So I am ecstatic and thrilled that you are loving the book so much because you are getting the essence of it, which is why I say I've cried my way through the book. When you're writing something that is so loving that I've never felt that loved before, and believe me, I know how to love me. I mean, I have worked 40 years on myself. So I know how to love me, but this kind of love that I'm feeling is very different.
It really is. It feels profoundly different.
So
and I want to talk about that some more when we get back from a commercial. We're going to take a very brief 2-minute commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Bye.
Hi, everyone. It's April Reynolds. You know, I wrote a new book. It's called Illuminating Love, Enlightening Your Path to Self-Love. It's my third book in the Manifesting Princess series of books that I've written. And, you know, I put together 12 leading experts and authors who are all super excited to share their very valuable gifts with you when you buy my book, Illuminating Love, on Amazon. So all you need to do to get over $1,000 in free gifts is to buy one $7.95 copy of my book on Amazon.com. How's that for a win-win celebration? You buy one book at $7.95 and you get $1,000 in worth of bonus gifts in amazing information from great authors and experts. So go to illuminatinglove.com on November 12th and buy my book, and then you'll be able to collect your bonus gifts immediately. My book talks a lot about lessons that I'm still a work in progress, but I've learned how I can work on things like overcoming self-loathing, feelings of unimportance, finding your true worth. Through trial and error and throughout my life, I share my compelling stories that provoke us to think about how we're living our lives. My book is chock full of really relatable anecdotes that, although they're very painful, they will illustrate for you how growing up can rob us of our self-image, and more importantly, this book can show us the way back to high self-regard. So go to illuminatinglove.com today and get your copy of Illuminating Love, Enlightening Your Path to Self-Love by April Reynolds. Thanks so much. Are you looking for a platform to share your positive message? Perhaps you're a light worker or earth angel wanting to share your message of hope and inspiration. Hi, I'm April Reynolds, the president and founder of the Angel Radio Network, and you can have your own internet radio show here on the Angel Radio Network. Training is provided. Contact me today at info@angelradionetwork.com, where we're changing the world by enlightening the world one radio show at a time. Hi, everyone. It's April Reynolds. I just want to give you the lineup here on the Angel Radio Network. Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time is Illuminating Love with yours truly. And Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern is Kathy Andrews with Wings on the Ground. Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern is Prasad Healing with Anaswara and Sherry. And Thursdays at 2 p.m. Eastern is Romance Your Soul with Susan D'Amico. Join us Fridays at 4 p.m. Eastern with Inspirations with Lisa Starr, and right here on the Angel Radio Network, where we're enlightening the world one radio show at a time. And welcome back, everyone. I'm April Reynolds. Thanks so much for listening to the Illuminating Love Radio Show here on the Angel Radio Network. And we're with Dr. Connie Numbers, who wrote the most fantastic Dear One letters. I am so happy to have her here. Connie, thank you so much. We've got so much more to talk about. We only have a half an hour left. So let's talk about how loving the self is not an easy task. How do we learn to love ourselves when we just have so much self-loathing?
Oh, well, let's see. Do you have about a year for us to talk about this?
Right.
How about let's talk about how loving the self is an easy task if you practice.
Okay. Deal.
Because it's all about practice. Everything's about practice, whether it's playing the piano, whether it's being in a relationship and building trust, whether it's how to be a good typist. It doesn't matter. The things that we succeed in life, we have to practice. Even if you have a gift, I happen to have been very fortunate to have had two parents who were very musical. Plus, I believe that I came into this life with the gift of music long before I had my parents and I had their biological DNA of music. So that was just like icing on the cake. So when I open up my mouth and sing, I feel so loved and so great because I have this gift. But I would not have been able to have been successful in my musical career or as a pianist or even a French horn player if I hadn't practiced. You can have a gift, but if you're not practicing it, you can't reach a level of success in anything. So I like to try to help people practice loving themselves. And in order to practice loving yourself, you have to have better feeling thoughts. You have to start thinking in a more positive way. You have to start, I mean, we could, you know, I could go through a litany of things, but they're just going to be a list of, well, you can do this, 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 and this. And it's probably, whoever's listening, it's not going to be so helpful. If we could take an example, or if you had a question or an example of something that might come up that you might be thinking of, then I could work with that. Did you have anything in mind?
Well, for example, weight. I mean, you know, I gained a lot of weight during my time after my son died and then through a series of other tragedies in my family. And it's really hard to get weight off once you hit middle age. So how do I stop that self-loathing when I look in the mirror? I don't speak the words anymore, but that feeling is still there.
And the feeling is what?
Just, oh my gosh, how can I ever be accepted at this weight? And I know people are thinking, oh my gosh, when's she ever going to take that weight off? Or, you know,
okay, so
the other day.
Stop right there.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's stop right there. First of all, the first thing I would say is you don't know what other people are thinking.
No,
so when you say, because a lot of people say that, oh, people must be thinking this when they look at me, they must be thinking that. They could be looking at you and not even thinking anything because they're too narcissistic and self-centered themselves. So the last thing they're thinking is about you. So
That's one
of the things, because I happen to be a little fluffy myself. So one of the things that you see, you notice how I didn't say overweight?
Yes, because
I said
it's
fluffy.
Overweight. Yeah, I don't like that term either.
Fluffy is just like endearing. My teddy bear is fluffy. I have two teddy bears, Pookie and Charlie Underpants.
Nice.
And Pookie and Charlie Underpants from my inner child, but they are so fluffy, and I feel so endearing to them. They're not skinny teddy bears. So
good.
The reason I say this is because when I look at myself in the mirror, and I look and I sometimes say, hi, Fluffy, I am not feeling 1 ounce of self-loathing for myself. Mm. Now, one of the reasons is because one of the things I say to myself is after I get my makeup on and I get ready to go to work, I actually turn back and I look at the mirror and I say to myself, you know something? You're just too cute to go to work today.
Oh, my gosh.
And when I'm playing golf and I hit a bad shot, I say, you know something? You're just too cute to play golf today. And whenever something comes up, I just say, you know something? Are just too cute to do this today, but you're going to do it. You're going to go to work anyway. Now, what that does is it breaks the cycle of darkness because you're adding light. You're adding humor. You look at yourself and you say, and you look at yourself in the mirror and you say, okay, so I'm fluffy. And then I say the next two beautiful words. They're magic words. They're wonderful words. If people would use these two words more in life, they would get better. And that is, so what?
I know. So what?
So what?
So what?
Now, here's the but. Then I start going through a litany of everything that I really love about myself.
Mm.
And I say all of these things. I just don't say, you know, something. You're a kind person. You're non-judgmental. You are cute. You're fluffy and you're still cute. But I say this. What's going right with your body? Because we are so intent on finding what's wrong with our body. And all of a sudden, I go through this gratitude of, I start thanking my liver. I start thanking my eyes. I am so grateful for being able to smell and taste. I have a beloved friend who can no longer taste. And I don't know how he does it. But he somehow, he still makes it through and says to me, well, there's worse things that could have happened to me.
Right.
For me to not be able to taste? Oh, my God. So because of him, I'm able to have a greater appreciation of what food tastes like and being able to taste. I touch my skin and I say, you know something? I am so grateful for my skin. And I even look at my butt. And I say, I am so grateful that you can sit in your psychotherapy practice for 8 to 9 hours a day and you can tolerate it. And thank you so much for having that extra padding so that I can do my work.
That's really true, because yeah, that extra padding, every woman in America is always complaining about her butt.
But I'm thanking my heart. I'm thanking my legs for being able to stand, my feet. I'm realizing as I'm blessing and thanking all of these parts of myself that I am not the scale. My self-esteem mm-hmm. and my worth can't get any better than it was the day I was created. So I can't
right.
possibly be any more worthy than I already am. So when I get on that scale, if that scale is going to be the barometer for how I feel about myself, and believe me, for many women it is, and for men too, but I think especially for women in our society, then I'm in trouble, because I'm depending on something that just has a little dinghy that goes back and forth that's got numbers in it that's going to determine how I feel about myself, and I refuse to let that happen.
Oh,
so that
bravo.
I can be who I am, I can be fluffy, I can be kind, I can be loving, but I can also be healthy and I can be thankful for all that I have that's going on. I have a choice. Am mm-hmm. I going to choose fear, which is low self-esteem and beratement of the self, or am I going to choose love, which is I'm going to love myself anyway. Now, when I used to be what I call cuter and thinner, you know, I depended on that part of me to not just get attention, but for my self-worth. And one of the great things, I don't think I've ever said this before, especially on the air, but one of the great things that I have really learned and loved about myself in being fluffy is that I have totally come to an acceptance that I love myself anyway, that my worthiness, my value, my importance in life is not due to what something says on a scale or how I look in this piece of clothing or not. And what matters is my countenance. What matters is what comes through my eyes and my smile. What matters is how loving I am. What matters is that when I see someone, I bless them, whether it's a stranger or not. What matters is that I don't judge any other person on this life, because they're doing the best they can. They're going through whatever they're going through. We're all, like you said, a work of art in progress. And those are the things I love so much about myself, that the body, as much as I know I need to take better care of it and I need to exercise more, and I will promise myself and I will do that, I still am grateful for it. I say thank you so much for being the vehicle that I'm traveling in life. Thank you for being that. But what people really notice, I think, more about me and probably about you is your countenance, because I find that when I go through a store, when I'm feeling just soulful, when I'm feeling so good about myself, I notice that people turn around and look at me a lot and they just smile. Mm-hmm. And I smile back. And the reason they do is because they know they can. I'm receptive to them, and I smile, and they smile back. They're not saying she's really fluffy or, man, she's 50 pounds overweight. They are not. I can just tell it by their vibes. They're, you know, something. I went to this place the other day, and I forget exactly where I was, and this young man, I think he was like maybe 18 or so, and he had Down syndrome. Mm-hmm. But he came up to me and he said, "You're really pretty." I said, "Oh, thank you so much."
Right.
Because he doesn't have that stigma. And so he saw my beauty. And you know something? It doesn't matter, even if he didn't. What matters is that you need to see your beauty. And I say by you, not just you, all of us need to see how beautiful we are and how lucky we are to be in this, fortunate that we've chosen to be in this lifetime in the bodies that we have. So if we can stop focusing on what's wrong with us and start focusing more on what's right with us, and we practice that, practice, you get better at it, so that one day when you look at yourself and you say, "Oh, you're fat, you're stupid," you go, "Oh, I hated that. That felt horrible. After I've been so good to myself for the last 2 weeks, oh, God, it's like eating a piece of bad meat or something. It's like, oh, God, I don't like that."
Right.
And then you say, oh, this must be really working. Because
yeah.
I don't like beating myself up anymore. It doesn't feel good.
I agree.
Wow. That
I agree
was a long answer to
yeah, no, no, I love it. I'm drinking it all in. I love that.
Are you drinking
just
again?
I'm drinking again. I'm drinking in everything you say because I'm just like, I'm so lucky that you're my friend. I'm like, I can't wait to have lunch with you. And just, I'm so glad you live nearby me. But, oh, now I've lost my train. You were a quote minute. That's what I was sitting here thinking. And I know I mentioned that to you before. I'm like writing everything down that you say. I can't keep up. But it's like, oh, my gosh, there's going to be another book soon. But I did want to touch briefly on soulmates. This is something that I'm trying to attract into my life, of course, is my soulmate.
Yes.
I was married for a very long time and got divorced less than a year ago, and we parted as friends. We actually was a very amicable divorce. We really spent a lot of time together, you know, making sure that each one was ready to go into the next stage of our lives and before we went our separate ways. It was really a mutual parting, and I bless him and wish him happiness. And but I was interested about this. You say, let me just quote your book here. It says, no soul comes here to live a life of unhappiness. More often than not, souls come into this lifetime to learn that it is needed to be able to move on to the next stage of their lives and erase the karma between them. Even soulmates can come together during a lifetime to learn and grow and can eventually leave each other for the good of all involved. And then you mentioned that it is an act of love to leave the relationship if you need to. If in other words, if it's not in everyone's best interest to stay together. And that's the way it was with my ex-husband. So I felt that it was an act of love, and I actually talk about this in length in my new book because I felt like it was so important to share that piece of me. It is very private, but I can't really grow any further if I don't share this with others because they're with me along the journey. So obviously, you had got this message as well, and I really resonated with this. Tell me about, you know, if you have had your soulmate and then you've had to part ways, like in my situation, is there another soulmate?
Oh, yeah. Here's the thing. People may not like hearing this because there's such a romanticized version mm-hmm. of a soulmate. But guess mm-hmm. what? We're all soulmates.
Yes.
We're all soulmates. We are all one. So we are all soulmates. So there are many people in life that you can fall in love with and be happy. There's not just one person that's, okay, this has got to be the one. There's just one soulmate. It's not like the swans who kind of like mate for life and they never, and when the other one dies, there's just never anyone else that's for that particular swan. We're mm-hmm. not like that. We are beings of love. So finding someone in your life, you have to feel, in order to have someone in your life, you have to desire to have someone in your life. So mm-hmm. if you want to have someone in your life and you desire to have somebody in your life, number one, you're going to have to stop beating yourself up because you're not going to underneath it, you meaning everybody, mm-hmm. feel deserving. You see, you have to feel, first of all, that you're deserving of having someone in your life. So mm-hmm. that's where self-love comes in, because mm-hmm. you're only going to be able to tolerate someone as much as you're able to tolerate you.
Right.
So on your health-o-meter, so to speak, on your love-meter, if you're loving yourself 40 mm. on a scale of 1 to 10, if you're loving yourself at a level 4, you will not be able to tolerate a level 5 person. You'll be able to tolerate a level 4 person. And then probably as you grow to a level 5 and to a level 6, you don't know if that person's going to grow to a level 5 or a level 6. Mm-hmm. In other words, the more you love you, if people could have a love relationship with themselves first, mm-hmm. the person who's going to come into their life will automatically be attracted to that energy. If your energy that you're sending out is saying, I'm really a good person, but I'm really not good enough, then you're going to attract somebody who's a good person, but really not good enough.
Mm.
That person's not going going to feel good enough about themselves, nor is that person going to feel good enough about you.
Mm-hmm.
Because how we feel about others is a direct correlation between how we feel about ourselves. So
Absolutely.
If you want to attract someone, of anyone that you've ever wanted, and you really want to be loved, you have to be willing to put that investment and practice doing that with yourself. And the more you're able mm-hmm. to do that, the more you will automatically attract that vibration to another person who has the similar vibration.
Mm. I love that. And I, you know, we do teach people how to treat us. And just like you said in your book, you know, don't let anyone treat you less than you treat yourself. It really does come down to self-respect and how much you respect yourself and keep those boundaries where they belong. And then I guess all of it will fall into place. I did not know that until I got to be, you know, of a certain age. It took me a while to figure some of these things out, I guess because of some of the trauma in my lifetime. And I just now kind of, you know, figuring some of these really important things out. And
Can I say something in your defense?
Sure. Please.
Let me say something in your defense. Uh-huh. Most people don't ever figure this out.
Oh.
Most people don't give their life this kind of thought. So the fact that you give your life, it doesn't matter if you're 45 or if you're 35 or if you're 50, I'm going to be 65 next month. It doesn't matter when you get there. The fact that you're on this path, the fact that you're willing to face yourself, the fact that you're willing to go inside, the fact that you're willing to share your life with other people, the fact that you're willing to become aware of what it is you're feeling and do something about it is far greater than most people will ever risk doing in their life. Ever.
Oh. Thank you. You know, I think that that's true, and I have always asked the questions. I mean, that's sort of my thing. I do ask the questions that need answers, and then here is cute and sassy, delightful you shows up with the answers. So I love how we complement each other.
Well, you're an Aries, and I'm a Capricorn, so.
Yes, we complement and we
compliment. You ask the questions, and I'm always going up that mountain seeking the answers, and I will continue to do so until I take my last breath, and then after that happens, I'm still going up, and except I'll be doing it in a freer way.
Yes. Well, I can't wait. What time is the workshop on Saturday?
It's at 10 o'clock at the yoga room, and it's it'll be wonderful. The cost is... It was $60. It may go up to $75 for those who have registered late, but maybe not. You never know. Mm-hmm. You can go to the store and say, please let me in for $60, which is a great price.
And I want to tell everybody that it's on Facebook, it's Myrtle Beach Yoga Room or myrtlebeachyogaroom.com, and find out if there's some time to get into it. This is on November. Is that the 16th? Yes,
yes,
so Saturday, November 16th.
You know, we have more room for people.
Oh, good.
So
I can't wait.
For people to come.
And there's teddy bears and crayons involved. That sounds like fun.
Oh, it's fun. It's educational. It's inspiring. That's to me so important for me to inspire people to actually believe, not from their head anymore, but from their heart, that there is this beautiful, sweet little thing that lies within you. And part of being loving yourself and part of stopping the negative thoughts is actually comforting that child inside. And most of us don't know how to do that. But, you know, children are very resilient, comforted very easily once you mm-hmm. comfort them. So the child inside me is really sleeping and playing and having finally I've given her a happy childhood. And
so once
we
she
all
has, it's never too late to have
outcome.
A happy childhood. And it's never too late, right, to have a happy childhood.
It never is. We can't change the events or the happenings or the people or the circumstances or what happened, but we can change the ending. And that's the greatest thing. We can have a happy childhood, and we can have it no matter what age we are. And very important. And this workshop isn't just for people. People say, oh, that's for people who've been traumatized, or, oh, that's for people who've got real problems. Mm-hmm. Like nobody else has these issues. Everybody has the issue of the child within. All you have to do is listen to an argument or go on a golf course and listen to how guys talk to themselves on the golf course. You'll see a lot of little boys out there, and you'll see, when you look at arguments, you'll see two children fighting usually instead of two adults. So all of us have this little child to deal with, whether you had a good childhood or whether you had one that wasn't so good. It doesn't matter. You can still learn from it.
Wow. And I'm just look. I'm on Amazon. I see all these 5-star reviews from all these people. Wow, your book is so awesome. So
I hope you write a review too.
I am going to, believe me. The Dear One Letters: A Path to Growing as a Human and Evolving as a Soul by Dr. Connie Numbers. Thank you so much, Connie. Love having you here today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate being on the show, and I've loved being here too.
Thank you, and I look forward to seeing you on Saturday at the workshop, and
yes,
I can't
thanks.
Wait to find out what the crayons are for. I love to color. It's lots of fun.
Good.
Well, thank you so much, and I want to encourage everyone to listen to me next Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I'll be here, and then throughout the week we have other shows on the air, and be sure to join us then. So for everyone here on the Illuminating Love Radio Show and the Angel Radio Network, I'm April Reynolds. For Dr. Connie Numbers, thank you so much for listening, and good night.
Good night.
Good night.